Could you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Can anybody imagine themselves out by the roadside today? I see one person nodding. I see one person shaking his head no. The rest of you are just quiet. But think about this. Jesus is entering Jerusalem, not in the midst of a snowstorm, but at a time when a lot of people are gathered. And imagine there's an excitement, an enthusiasm. Imagine that you were in Washington when the president is walking into the halls of Congress to deliver the State of the Union. You'd want to cheer. And even if you didn't want to, it would be hard to resist the tide of excitement, to rise up to your feet and applaud and call out and shout his name. Each and every person in that crowd was excited about Jesus' arrival. And maybe we'd like to think that we would be amongst those welcoming Jesus. But if we do that, we need to grapple with the fact that we would be part of the crowd that was also gathered later in the week, urging Pilate to crucify him. These people all turned on Jesus. I had titled the sermon, Don't Try This at Home, and I was thinking about the waving of palms and the laying out of coats on the floor, and I don't want you to do that at home. But I'm thinking of something different with my message this morning, which is that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, not in a tank, but a tractor. Think about that. Jesus mocked the Romans. Jesus, pardon my expression here, but flipped the bird to the religious authorities. He knew what he was doing when he rode in on that colt. Think about the Romans. They used to have triumphal processions for their generals, those who had done well in battle. And they rode in a chariot. In the Near East, kings rode on war horses when they achieved a victory. But a colt? A donkey, as we think of it? Jesus was aping what those rulers did, but he was subverting the ritual. Jesus was telling the Romans, I'm in charge, not Caesar. He was telling the religious authorities, I am the temple, not this place up on the hill here. Jesus was very provocative. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise to you. But we like to think of Jesus as being our friend, our buddy. And when we think of Jesus in this week, we all think of sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and bunny rabbits. But this week is not an easy week. And yes, I know we like to skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. We like the uplifting music. We like the positive energy. We want the crown without the cross. But we can't have the crown without the cross. Jesus meets his fate on this earth on Friday when humans turn against him. Now think about that. If someone has given you a great gift, how would you respond? Now imagine how God must have felt after Jesus was hoisted on the cross and crucified. That's the way we said thank you to God. And that wasn't an act of theater. It wasn't symbolic. Our faith teaches us that on Good Friday, the Son of God was killed. We couldn't handle that much love. We couldn't handle that much grace. I went out to breakfast the other day, and I like to think that I'm somewhat anonymous. particularly when I'm out having breakfast, I'm not wearing any kind of clerical clothing. I've not introduced myself to the waitresses at the fort, but I was having my cup of coffee, and one of the waitresses began to talk to me, and it was clear she knew who I was and what I did. And she liked the fact that our church used to have that immigration banner out front, welcoming everyone. Now, as you could imagine, if you're working as a waitress at the fort, you hear lots of things. You hear lots of people saying stuff about politics. And a lot of it, frankly, makes no sense to me. Jesus did not tell us to hate anyone. Jesus did not tell us to flip the bird at anyone. Jesus told us to love one another. It's that simple. Jesus entered into Jerusalem to say that your symbols and your rituals of expressing power and exclusion are not my way. Jesus loves everyone. It's that simple. And I can say it over and over and over again, and you can say it too. And you would hope, I would hope, that people would get the message. But they don't. We remember that Jesus was crucified. Now, I might want to give up. I might want to say that it's hopeless. But I don't. Because the message of the gospel is one worth sharing. And yes, we had a lot of snow yesterday. But I'm grateful that you all came out today. And for those of you on Zoom, I'm glad you're with us too. But why are you here this morning? What is it that drew you to church today? And there are faces I see here every week. There are new faces here. There are people who haven't been here in a while. What has Jesus said that has drawn you here? So think about how we often have big parades or celebrations for political leaders or sports figures. Normally, we get excited at those moments. We might think that politician is the bee's knees, that that person can be the answer to all of our problems. But despite what anyone claims, we are not the answer. We are not the only ones who can solve our problems. We are here to love one another. You may want to cheer, you may want to have a big procession when the conquering hero comes into town. You might want to have a military parade. It's a piece of engineering. Tanks are cool. Airplanes are neat. But so what? That's technology that is designed to hurt other people. Now, I will tell you, I am not a pacifist. I believe there are situations where we need to fight one another. But what a sad state of affairs. Why is it that after 5,000-10,000 years of human civilization, we haven't figured out a better way to get along? Jesus came by 2,000 years ago. And I think his lessons to us were pretty clear. Yet for some reason, we don't want to absorb them. Why? I can't offer you an answer to that. Evolutionary biologists may be able to. Anthropologists might try. But I suspect they're just offering theories and ideas. We can't save ourselves. We need God to do that for us. But we need to welcome God into our hearts and into our lives. So think about a great figure riding into town on a tractor. That's an instrument of peace. That's an instrument of productivity. It may not be as exciting as a tank. It may not be as sleek. It may not be as cool. But Jesus would have come into town on a tractor and not on a tank. These acts of political theater that we see in Scripture are things that humans have continued to do throughout the years. You can think about the toppling of the statue of Saddam Hussein during the Gulf War. You can feel pretty good as an American for that. But an ugly act of political theater was the attack on the World Trade Center. Why? Who was supposed to be impressed by that? Who was supposed to be won over to Allah? And before we say that they do that, we need to think about our own failings and our own instances of blaspheming and betraying the name of God in God's service. God is not looking for us to build a bigger building for him. God is not looking for us to build a better weapon for him. You may know that nuclear attack submarines are named after American cities. And there was one that was going to be christened Corpus Christi. Now, that was nice for people in Texas. But fortunately, some people said, excuse me, you can't do that. The body of Christ should not be named after something that is carrying weapons of death and annihilation. And so that sub was christened the City of Corpus Christi. Okay. Still, the point was made. But still, we need to build these weapons because we can't get along with one another. Now, I don't know what the cause of yesterday's snowstorm was. I don't know whether I can blame it on climate change. I don't know whether I can just say it's New England. And I, frankly, was a little bit too hubristic in thinking spring had come last week. But it's here. And I thank the people who are driving the plows and the people who have wielded the shovels to get us dug out. And next week we'll be gathering for Easter worship at the 6 o'clock sunrise service in Colburn Park, which I had futilely imagined was going to be clear. And next week we'll celebrate Easter, and I also suspect the arrival of mud season. But we will welcome Jesus again. And I hope that everybody is here for that 6 o'clock service, or you'll be here for the 10 o'clock service, which we'll celebrate in this warm sanctuary. And yes, I can complain about the weather, but the sanctuary is warm. The lights are on. We have power. We have heat. My hope is we've got food and drink. Jesus came to show us a new way. As we finish up this Lenten season, which is still going on, we will also be getting ready for the arrival of Jesus Christ. And my hope is you recognize that Jesus is already here. The Easter event took place 2,000 years ago. But we live like Jesus has not yet arrived. And all too often we live as if Jesus is not going to come. The Spirit of God is here and available for all to receive. Think about that. So if I can go back to the original sermon title, Don't Try This at Home, I suspect there are all sorts of things you could think about that might be kind of neat to try at home, but you shouldn't do. But try praying. Try opening your heart to God and welcoming Jesus. You don't know what'll happen. You might feel better. Even more importantly, you might be able to begin to lead a new life. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for his arrival in Jerusalem all those many years ago. We also repent for the way that our forebears turned on Jesus, the way we can turn on Jesus. We ask for the strength and courage to stay by Jesus' side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.